couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies, and we finally come to the best week of the year, in which we get transformed into skinny people.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. Usually, if you actually watch the movies, whenever they transform, they get bigger and
they
fatter.
They get bigger. Like, okay, so we're going to transform into 40-foot-tall movie critics.
Yeah, so like they're like in a skateboard, and it turns into a robot that's bigger than a house.
And I'm going to use my 40-foot tallness as a movie critic to stomp out all of the movie critics who didn't like Transformers 2. Which
is you're going to be a busy boy.
I am, which is what we're talking about. But before we get to that, we have
how do we get a hold of us?
How to get a hold of us? We're also probably going to talk about cancer at some point. But first, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys of the Movies. You can go to fatguysofthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes. Just search Fat Guys of the Movies in the iTunes store. Remember, if you listen to us on iTunes, just go to the iTunes store. Give us a little review. Say some nice things about me. That'd be awesome.
Say some nice things about me, too. And say bad things about Neil, just to balance it out.
I really
out,
don't feel like that's appropriate.
Neil's sending all of his
friends. I don't feel like you should be shilling for nice comments, Kevin.
Whatever.
You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, which we're getting kind of lonely. We haven't had any good voicemails in a while. Area code 614-388-8735. That is 614-388-TREK.
Ooh.
But we're not doing Trek this week. We're doing...
Not 388 Transformers, because that's too long.
I wish we could have 388 Transformers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but you'd be like calling like Sri Lanka if you did with that
exactly.
long of a time.
Okay, cool. So let's move on and let's talk about let's get this other movie out of the way.
Cancer. Let's get the cancer movie out of the way.
Yeah.
This is My Sister's Keeper. Abigail Breslin plays a girl who has been genetically engineered as a donor for her sister who is dying of leukemia.
Most babies are accidents. Not me. I was engineered. Born to save my sister's life. My sister has been in renal failure for months now.
You're supposed to give her a kidney?
I want to sue my parents for the rights to my own body.
Would you repeat that, please?
What's going on?
Anna, you're suing us?
I don't want to do it anymore, Mom. It's my body. I want to be able to make my own decisions about what to do with it.
Now, I heard that you skipped this screening because you hate kids with cancer. You
think it hits too close to home for me. Because I was also genetically engineered.
To donate to your brother who's
no,
younger than
to
you?
Donate movie knowledge to the world.
Oh, that's they didn't do too good of a job with the genetic engineering on that because
hey man, science isn't perfect.
Anywho, this one is directed by Nick Cassavetes. And if you don't
know
who he is, he's the son of John Cassavetes. And what's funny is he's had this he has these weird connections because John Cassavetes was a very respected filmmaker. He was also an actor, and then Nick Cassavetes. Did like softcore sort of like Skinamax movies back in the 90s.
That's until where he became, I know that guy from.
Yeah, well, I've seen. It's funny because every time you turn on some Skinamax movie with like, who's the girl who's married to the Gene Simmons from Kiss? Tawny, whatever her name is, not Tawny Robert.
Tawny Kitaen.
No. Another one of them. But anyways, he was in a bunch of these, and then he started to make movies, and they're like serious. Dramas, and he's best known for directing The Notebook. Did you see The Notebook?
Maybe.
With Rachel McAdams and what's his name? Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. I'm aware of The Notebook.
Yeah, he always deals with love and like some terrible disease. So, you know, in
gotcha.
In The Notebook, it was love and Alzheimer's. This one is love and cancer. Although it's not a love story in terms of boyfriend, girlfriend, it's more of a love with the family. But the whole deal is her sister has leukemia, and they found out she had leukemia when she was like 3 years old, so they genetically engineered genetically designed their daughter using real-world science so that she could be a genetic match so she could give bone marrow and platelets and eventually, and the whole thing is at this point her sister is in terminal leukemia and she's having renal failure and Abigail
Breslin's
character.
She's having what kind of failure?
Renal failure. That's
renal.
The kidneys.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And Abigail Breslin's character doesn't want to donate a kidney because she's like, hey, you know, I might need that. So she sues her family for medical emancipation. So basically to make her own decisions.
Right.
And to choose not to donate a kidney, which would of course result in her daughter, is her sister's death.
Right.
And it's a tearjerker. It's a heavy drama. And
Cameron Diaz shaves her head.
She does shave her head, but not through the whole thing. It's just like this one thing of her shaving her head. I mean, it would have been so much better if it would have been like G.I. Jane or Alien 3.
Or V for Vendetta, like, when Natalie Portman shaved her head.
Yeah, bald through, cue ball through the whole movie.
Right.
But this one, it's a draw. It's Nicholas Sparks. So if you like kind of like the style of The Notebook, you like, it's beautifully shot and it's all this heavy drama. I'm a cynical SOB, so I was like, whatever. It wasn't a terrible movie, but what I couldn't get past, and this is ultimately where I thought the movie failed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get past the concept because I think it's awful to basically make a child just to be a farm for
right.
your other kid. I mean, there's one line in there where Jason Patrick, who plays the father, he's like, well, we went against nature and that's why this is terrible. I'm like, no, it's not that you went against nature. You basically created a baby to siphon off its organs.
Right. That's very twisted, man.
And it is.
If you think about it, that's really weird. Like, why would you do that? I mean, realistically, that raises the bigger question of like, I could see science trying to do stuff like that. Like, but
oh,
that's
you
awful.
Yeah. And the thing is, and it's sort of like, okay, it's one thing because they kind of present it when they're going to have the kid. They're like, well, you can get all the stem cells and the umbilical cord blood and that kind of, and you're like, well, that's a little less intrusive. But like by the time they're basically saying you need to give a kidney to your sister, and they really try, the filmmaking, they really try to make it justifiable, but still, Cameron Diaz's character, she's a reprehensible person. She's basically like berating her daughter, suing her daughter to basically say, I want to wrench that kidney from your body.
Right.
And I'm just like, yeah, you know, that's just, it's unsavory. And the premise to me, if you can get past it, you'll love it as a drama. Mm-hmm. And it's a story about, and it has multiple storylines. You know, it has a story of the girl, the sister dying of cancer and how she had a love affair with John Connor, played by John Connor from the TV show.
Right. Gotcha.
Who also has cancer. And so it kind of goes into her story because it's based on a novel. And it has some awkward sort of, you know, story structure because it's trying to cram everything from the book in, I guess. But yeah, like I said, I couldn't get past the mother basically rejecting her entire family just for her daughter, who's, you know, I feel for people that have leukemia. I feel for kids that have leukemia and families is the worst thing mm-hmm. that you could see is to not just have your kid, you know, be ready to die, but dying slowly over years.
Yeah.
But you can't, you shouldn't forego the whole family just for one person. You at some point you have to accept the fact that it's a sliding slope. You know, the girl's never going to go into remission and live forever. I mean, her kidneys are failing, for crying out loud.
Right. And I think it's one of those things that, like, from a distance sounds like, oh, I get it. I get why you would want to do that scientifically. But the actual application, not so good.
Yeah. It's a little tough.
Doesn't quite work the way you think it would.
Yeah, I never got past that. So I mean, for me, it's a kind of sucks movie. But mm-hmm. there were people bawling in the audience. There was one
awesome.
Woman who whelped.
Awesome. So. I like to audience watch in movies like that. Just watch people just bawl.
Anyways, and then everyone laughed.
We come back. I'm gonna cry tears of joy over Transformers.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. It has been a long summer so far, and there are certain people that are chomping at the bit and excited and running around like a five-year-old who needs to go to the bathroom. Some of them are in the magical studio in the sky, or at least one of them is. That would be Neil Miller. Getting ready for this little independent film that's coming out this week, this tiny little micro-budget movie called Transformers.
I want to say that, wasn't it... Was it the first Transformers when you first did that? This tiny little art film thing?
It may have been. Or, no, I think it was actually Spider-Man. It was Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
It was probably Spider-Man 3. Because that's why you got tired of it, because I was doing it every week.
Since Spider-Man 3 came out in 2007.
Yeah, exactly. But, wow, that's... This we are now, we have been on the air, we have been doing Fat Guys long enough to be hitting sequels of movies we've already covered.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool.
Can't wait for Spider-Man 4.
Whoop, whoop.
Jazz club Anyways. Scene. Yay. Anyways, yeah, go let's, on. We'll introduce this movie that I've never heard of.
This little independent film called Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, robots blowing things up, and hot chicks.
I just had a full-blown mental meltdown in the middle of my class. I'm seeing symbols.
We've kept much from you, Sam.
This isn't my war.
I fear it soon will be.
What you're about to see is top secret. Do not tell my mother. Any of these look like the symbols you saw?
Where did you get these?
Archaeologists found these unexplained markings in ancient ruins all over the world.
They gotta mean something, like a message or like a map.
Now here's the deal on Transformers, if I could steal an opening line from my co-host Kevin Carr.
Ah, plagiarist.
Okay, here's the deal. Here essentially is what I can break down. I've seen the movie twice. I went to see it regular in regular digital and then in IMAX. And this is a movie that essentially that challenges you to answer the essential question of, are you a happy person or are you a sad person? Because
what?
If you're a happy person, there's plenty of awesome in this movie for you to like. But if you are a sad person, this movie is going to be long, boring, have racism in it, allegedly. And it's going to be kind of a mess. But if you're a happy person, there's a lot of really awesome stuff blowing up. And that's all kinds of fun. And hot chicks, you know, like you mentioned before the trailer. So really, it's like, if you're happy, you're going to like it. If you're sad, you're not.
Wow. You go.
Review
you
over.
I am going to be, doing what people do in elections. I'm taking the moderate view here. you're the extremist. You're the person on the far left or the far right. You're and this is the thing, before we even talk about the movie, I want to talk about the reaction to the movie for some people, because it's getting just creamed in the reviews. It's like 20% rotten.
It is, kind of thing. And I think, I don't know, man. I think maybe it's just, it's hip to hate, because
I don't think that's what it is. Here's the thing. My theory is you and some other people at Reject HQ like Robert Fury and yeah. people like that. Nothing against Robert, but it's almost like you're trying to make up for all the mediocre and bad reviews by being so zealous about the movie. Because here's the thing for me,
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some serious problems with it. It was not awesome. That's the thing. It wasn't. Yeah. It's like going to Olive Garden and being like, that is the greatest restaurant ever, the best food ever. You will never eat anything better. Olive Garden has good salad and good breadsticks, and the
Ooh,
food's good,
sticks.
Decent. I've never gone to Olive Garden and been like, oh my gosh, I feel sick. I shouldn't have eaten that. I mean, it's still, but it's by far, it's not the best restaurant on the planet. It's not a plus restaurant. It's sort of like B minus,
well,
kind
you know
of
what?
Like
you're right, because Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is not, it's not a great movie, but it's no. definitely not as bad as some people. I guess really,
but I was watching your tweet, you're like, it was totally awesome.
It
and
was
I could
awesome
almost
it was
feel
an awesome
the body
spectacle.
Fluids coming off my computer from you.
It was an awesome spectacle. It was awesome. Awesome doesn't make a great movie, but it was awesome to watch. You know, I think that's the point. And I think a lot
awesome
of people
moments.
Are just nitpicking at this thing, you know? And
well,
it's just
but no, see, this is...
Some of it's just unnecessary to me.
Well, okay. Let's talk about the Sanford and Son robots first.
Oh, yeah, because I have a really awesome point that I made the other day that is actually true.
Because this is the thing that's actually getting most complaints about. And right. What's funny is
the
I see
racist,
both sides.
Quote unquote robots.
I see both sides, but I'm just like, chill out, people. It's flipping Transformers.
Right. Well, and I have a theory. So there are these two robots, Skids and Mudflap, who are stereotypical of urban youths. I mean, they jive talk. They apparently can't read, but they also can't. They can't read a millions of year old dead language. It's like you being like, I can't read Sanskrit, and me being like, you're illiterate, you know?
Yeah. Well, and see, it's those comparisons that I think are kind of taking it a little too far.
Right. And then you know, one's got a gold tooth and they're like hip hop gangsters. But
they're wearing bling.
I theorized the other night, I was like, think back to the first movie. Where did the Transformers get their personalities? They got their personalities from surfing the World Wide Web. What are the most popular things on the web? MySpace.
Porn. porn.
YouTube. Well, porn, yes. But, I mean, they can't put that in a kid's movie. But
where's, like, the Jenna Jameson robot? That's what I want.
Those RC motorcycles are totally just doorknobs. Anyways, but, you know, you have, so, the, you know, MySpace, YouTube. Look at MySpace and YouTube. What does that say about our culture, you know? And I think it's funny. I was like, I don't think they're black. I think they're just confused white kids. You know, they're just misguided white kids. And what's funny is Reuters.
So what you're saying is they're the Wigger bots, is what you're saying.
They are. They're the Wigger bots. And Reuters did the two were voiced by Tom Kenny, who voices SpongeBob SquarePants, and Reno Wilson.
A clearly racist character.
A white guy. And yes. But and then Reno Wilson voiced the other one. He is a black man. Just let's say it out there. He voices Mudflap. But Wilson said,
well, but wait, they compare it to Jar Jar Binks. And Jar Jar Binks was played and voiced by a black guy.
Yeah,
and people
exactly.
Still made all the action.
So
this is where I will disagree with. Just because a black guy does the voice doesn't mean it's not racist.
Exactly.
You had
That's true.
Black people playing Amos and Andy in the original Amos and Andy television show, not the radio show, but the television show.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's not a racist.
Right. Well, and you know, Michael Bay said that these characters are really kind of created when the voice actors were doing the voices. And so Reno Wilson told Reuters that he really looks at him. He said that when he took the role, he was told that the alien robots learned their human culture from the web and that the twins were, quote-unquote, wannabe gangster types. And he goes on to say, it's like, it could easily be a Transformer that uploaded Kevin Federline data. Like, yeah. So to me, that's like, these guys, they're just, that's just a sign of our culture. Also, they're just there to sell toys. You know, I've seen a lot of reviews where people are mad because not only are they stereotypical, but they also don't really have a lot to do with the movie. And I mean, yeah, no, these guys, they have a moment towards the end of the movie where they get tons of cheers because they have an awesome moment.
Sadly, they have way too much to do with the movie.
But it's like they're just there to sell toys in a Happy Meal, you know?
Robert Fury and I had a Twitter conversation the other day about this. And my thing is I'm like, they're just stupid. I don't care whether they're racist or not. And this is
right. They're lazily written characters. Yeah,
they embody part of what I found wrong with the movie. I thought the robots were cool. The action was awesome. Arguably better than the first because you actually get to see the battles instead of in the first
it's
one.
Definitely like, all in the, frame.
Yeah. The first one is like you had the big climactic battle and they kept cutting away to like Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf. And who wants that?
Right.
You'd show the robots in the fight. And they did that. And I think the action was better, mm-hmm. but these guys embody what's wrong with the robot parts of it. Is it just got silly? I mean,
but I mean, you have to remember that this is a movie that's ultimately, and I think G.I. Joe is going
to
be the same way, where it's a movie written for the sensibilities of a 12-year-old. You know,
I kind of have to say I'm looking forward to that. They showed a trailer for G.I. Joe in front of it. I watch it. I'm like, going, you know what? This might actually be pretty good.
You know, but it's written for. Like, it is literally written for someone with the sense of humor of a 12-year-old boy. Like, it's not The Dark Knight. Like, I keep having to come back to that. It's like, this is not going to be The Dark Knight. It's a Michael Bay film. And I look at people who are complaining about the dumb humor and the bad dialogue and the sensory overload of the amount of explosions that are in this movie. And I'm like, what did you expect?
Well, but
what do you want him to do? He's never going to do an art film. This is a Michael. Bay movie.
Fine, explosions are great, but here's my thing, and I said this in my review. It has everything about this movie is what made the first movie awesome and terrible at the same times 10.
I guess that's
it
fair.
It was awesome special effects, awesome robots. That's cool. It had some of the worst writing I have seen this year, and I mean I've seen some bad writing in movies, and. The acting, Megan Fox has gotten worse as an actor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's talk about the hot chick stuff in the next segment because I got some things to say about that.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, but no, I got something to say about that. But the whole thing is it's so poorly written and it's like Michael Bay's like, oh, let's make this whole thing funny. And whereas the first movie, that Rose Garden scene was the jazz club scenes from Spider-Man where Optimus Prime is trampling the rose bushes going, oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. That took me out of the first movie. That is the entire dialogue of the new movie. There's really no plot. It's just like hacked together. It kind of doesn't make sense. I mean, I got it. Mm-hmm. I understood what was going on. Doesn't make sense. I won't go into it because I don't want to give spoilers away.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things where I'm like, well, wait, that doesn't make... Anyways, we're up against the clock. We're going to come back. We're going to continue talking about this.
Nice.
hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies. And now, Kevin, we get it. The script is pretty terrible. Okay, I'll agree. I will concede that. But you also mentioned hot chicks. I would like to move on to that.
Okay, one more thing about the script, and this is all I'm going to say. I just want to say this about the script.
Of course.
The movie's 2.5 hours long. You can't tell me they couldn't have taken at least a half hour out of it. I think it would. To me, it was like last year's Speed Racer.
There was actually a story this week about how both Paramount and Michael Bay wanted more time to cut it. Uh-huh. They just ran out of time.
What do you mean,
like,
time
he
to
wanted
cut?
It to be shorter.
Give me a weekend, I could have made it shorter. It's not like, and see, that's the thing. It's just this amalgamation of stupid
moments.
Though.
There's
a lot going on
in that movie. I think it'd be very tough to cut out a significant chunk of it.
I could cut out 20 minutes easy from that movie and have not removed one shred of robot from it. I swear I could do that. Now, you'd have to pull out, you know, the mom eating pot brownies and stuff like that.
That was funny, though.
Okay, yeah.
That was actually
funny,
really funny.
But it's not relevant to the movie. It's not relevant to the story. It's not relevant to the characters. It's not relevant to the robots blowing things up. So it's kind of unnecessary. That's what I'm saying. It was Michael Bay in excess. And for a guy who says, oh, I don't care about my critics, he spends a lot of time talking about how he doesn't care about his critics. And his fans spend a lot of time talking about how, well, nobody cares about his critics. Everybody cares about, he does. And you do, obviously, because you've been talking smack about people dissing Transformers for the last several days. So
I do, man. Don't mess with Michael Bay.
Anyways, the hot chick thing.
The story really must be bad if you avoided talking about hot chicks.
No, here's the point with the hot chicks. I like looking at hot chicks just as much as everybody else, but there's a certain part where you're just like, okay, great hot chicks. And then it's sort of like if you go to a strip club, after a half hour in the strip club, you're tired of looking at boobs. We're not tired of, but it's not amazing.
It's just not
anymore.
The same anymore, man.
Well, and here's the thing. It has gone to a ridiculous level. He goes to college and they have this one line thrown in there where he's like, oh, I hacked into the dorm's computer so that we got all the hot chicks in the building, just to justify the fact that every single girl in the college isn't just attractive, but ridiculously hot, sizzling
hot. You have to admit, though, it's quite obvious what Michael Bay's motives are with that.
Well, this is...
That's a pretty creative way to do it.
Well, no, it's not. It's a patch. And I don't even think Michael Bay had anything to do with it. I think that the writers put that in because they're like, well, he's just going to stab. This is going to look like a giant beer commercial in their chemistry class. But here's the thing. It's like going to Hooters. If I want to look at hot chicks, I'll go online. I'll get a porno magazine or whatever. If I want to see, I'll see that. If I want to see a good sci-fi movie or at least even an action movie, it's okay to have some. But it just got to the point where it's just like, okay, now it's just a lot of attractive girls, but they don't do anything with them. There's no, you know, you don't get anything out of it. Even Megan Fox, who was attractive, she wasn't. You didn't have the scene like in the first one where she's opening the hood of the car and she just looks incredible. You don't even have that. It's just sort of like, it's like going to Hooters. If I want to eat chicken wings, I'm going to go to a restaurant that has good chicken wings, like BW3. If I want to go see naked girls or half naked girls or that, I'm going to go to a strip club. I'm not going to go to Hooters because they got crappy food and girls have clothes on. So there.
You know what I want to do?
What?
Robots kicking the crap out of each other. So that's why I would go see Transformers 2.
Fine. Go see it.
Totally rocks.
But it's not worth 2.5 hours. It's a kind of rocks, and that's about it.
I had a lot of fun in this movie, and you know what? The IMAX experience. There's one scene in the middle of the movie where they're fighting in the forest.
The ninja
that
robot
is shot and rendered in IMAX. It is breathtaking. So that pushes it from a kind of rocks to a totally rocks. Yeah, there's problems. Like, this movie has tons of problems.
Major problems that could have been fixed easily. With like an hour in the editing room, I could have made that movie shorter and you would have lost nothing.
Enough. I get it. You're better than Michael Bay at making films. Whatever. But it's a kick-ass ride. It really is. And you know what? Here's the other thing about Michael Bay. Last final thought. Sure, he makes you sit through 2.5 hours, but that last battle scene, he is a smart enough action director. He makes it all worth it in the end. Because you get to that last action scene and it's like, yeah, that was totally worth it. You know, like, sure, the other two-thirds of this movie were kind of on the line between awful and awesome, but that last battle scene is totally worth it. And
I don't know if
so
I totally.
I say totally rocks. Go see Transformers.
I don't know if I agree with
as
that.
As if you haven't already.
Yeah.
What?
Anyway, speaking of the IMAX, I got to quote. This is the thing why, and this leads into the box office. I think this is going to be incredibly.
Good.
This is an incredibly front-loaded movie because the buzz I'm hearing, not from critics, not from people like you who run a website about movies mm-hmm. and loves Michael Bay so much that he would eat his poop. I would. I'm seeing.
You're saying like that. That like I haven't already done.
Like that hasn't happened. What I'm hearing from buzzes of people either in Twitter feeds and Facebook and like real people going to see the movie and feedback on websites is if there's any movie review from the general consensus that epitomizes the word meh, M-E-H, that's internet speak, it's this movie. People are kind of like...
I don't know what that means.
Eh, I mean, I've had people respond who are fans of the show and fans of our show and fans of Transformers, and they're kind of like, it was okay, you know. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of this was the greatest movie of all time. I'm seeing that.
Oh, it's definitely not.
I'm seeing that, but I really think it's everybody who wants to see it is going to see it like that first weekend. It's not going to have any legs over the summer. I think it's going to completely stumble in its second week.
I don't know so much about that.
And even on the weekend, it's made this, because we know this is obviously after the movie opened on Wednesday, it had, what, $60 million its first week? Which
$60 million on its first day.
Huge number for its first day, but I think in some ways...
Here's what I can say. It's going to make $150 million this weekend, plus.
I think $150 million.
And worse movies have made more money.
No, you're right. I'm not saying it. See, that's the thing. Everyone attacks the people who give sort of like mediocre reviews, which I think is the right answer.
There is a balanced way to review this movie. It's not a great movie.
Yeah, but
I think
when all said and done, people are not. I've now seen things where people are saying $175 million for the weekend. I'm like, no way, is it going to make that much? Because I think you had people who really, 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 really wanted to see this movie saw it on midnight, saw it on Wednesday, and you're gonna see a sliding slope. It's not gonna like tank, but it's not gonna have staying power. It's not gonna be like Spider-Man 2. Which did well and then continued, or Star Trek, which just had this steady burn through all of May. I think it's going to be, in my review, I remember, and I pointed this out in my review, you said about the first Transformers, it reminded you of seeing Jurassic Park when you were like 3 or however you were old enough.
Yeah, because of just the spectacle and the wonder in seeing Transformers come to life.
And I'll give that to you. I mean, I think that's absolutely right.
The magic isn't. The same magic isn't here with the second one.
This is like seeing
That's true.
The Lost World, the sequel to Jurassic Park. It had this huge opening weekend. Everyone wanted
Fair.
It. Had cooler dinosaurs. It had better dinosaurs. It was had more action, but the story wasn't there. I mean, the story for the first Transformers wasn't that great.
You know what, Kevin Carr? For the first time in your life, you may actually be right.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Can we get Guinness to come in here and certify this?
Did we get that on? Did we record that?
We are recording. But yeah, I think.
Awesome.
Because like... The Lost World, everyone was kind of meh, and it made whatever it made this first opening weekend, it doubled that in its final gross. And I think that's what Transformers is going to do. God knows.
It'll be about a $300 million movie, and it's already killing it overseas. So, I mean, it's gonna be a $700 million movie, the first one.
Yeah.
So, I don't think anybody... I don't hear a lot of fans really hating it as much as some of the critics did.
Yeah.
And... I don't think anyone at Paramount, DreamWorks, Michael Bay's house, doesn't matter. Nobody really cares. The movie is big. The movie is loud. The movie has a lot of awesome. It's going to make a ton of money and done.
And we'll see what happens when they do the third one. That's, I think, where
if
it really
they do
is.
A third one, then yeah. I mean, personally, I'm
okay with...
If it's
going to make $700 million and they're going to be like, I don't think we need to.
If they didn't do a third one, I'd be okay. This is about as much Transformers as you can get into a movie.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they're going to make a third one? I think they're absolutely...
Oh, yeah, they'll do it.
They're already talking about it.
Yeah, and they're definitely doing a third
one. Obviously, they don't need to write a script because they didn't for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we interviewed Dr. Cole Abias here at FSR HQ, interviewed the screenwriters, and they're working on it. You know, they're already working on a third one, a story for a third one. So, sure. I mean, why not? But I think what I read a story earlier this week about Paramount saying that they wanted a smaller scale for the third one, and I think that'd be a really good choice. Go smaller, tighter.
Can you go bigger? Can you go bigger?
You can't go bigger, that's for sure. But I don't think the third one would need to be this big. Maybe a smaller, tighter story. You know,
or a story.
Oh, No, there's a story there. I think the overarching story isn't terrible. It's just the elements within that story that really
it is a half-hour cartoon stretched into 2.5 hours.
Sure.
Right?
Whatever, man. Okay. Hey, we should do a Fat Guy 5 now.
Let's do
What's our grades? I'm saying totally rocks. You're saying
I'm saying kind of rocks. Can I read one quote? This is a quote from a friend of mine who saw it in IMAX. And this, I think, epitomizes it. Somebody asked, how was it? And she goes, literal quote, "I'm not sure how it was. We saw it in IMAX and had to sit in the second row. It was a little confusing from there. I have to see it again from farther away."
Yeah, no, the IMAX is tough to watch if you're really close. Yes. So if you go see it in IMAX, sit in the back.
Okay.
And it'll be awesome. So there you go.
All right.
Let's do our Fat Guy 5. Speaking of sensory overloads, we've got 5 movies this week that assault your senses.
You can take the first one since, all that poopy.
The first one is, I believe, one of the original Michael Baygasms, Armageddon. It, at the time, was the loudest movie ever to hit theaters.
I enjoyed Armageddon. I really liked Armageddon.
I did too, and I think it's a crazy loud movie, and it was kind of fun. So
another one we have is Cloverfield from last year, simply because it was intense and it was a lot of explosions, and it's amazing how awesome that Dolby sound picks up on that little mic on a video camera.
Yeah. Nice. Next one is Blair Witch, which really kind of assaults your senses in a different way and really creates a sense of paranoia. I think that was the one thing that really propelled the Blair Witch, was the just sick sense of paranoia that it projected in the theaters.
I almost threw up when I saw it. Did you know that?
Oh, God.
I
think a lot of people threw up when they saw it the first time. Yeah. Speaking of throwing up, what's the next one?
The Descent. You take this one. This one's yours.
Well, The Descent, this one actually comes from Dr. Kolobias and myself here at Reject HQ, because The Descent is another one of those very similar. It creates a sense of claustrophobia. It creates a sense of this panic. And that really, I think horror films, you're going to see a little trend here, but horror films and suspense films tend to do this a lot better. You know, not everybody else. Everybody else is just like Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Doing where he's like in your face.
Let's move to the next one. Speaking of horror, let's say the original Kubrick's version of The Shining. And the reason I say that, partly, we got to do one from the past. It can't all be stuff that came out in the last 5 years, or 10 years. This one just is loud and soft and loud and soft. And it is powerful and terrifying to watch in the theater. It also kind of dovetails into an honorable mention that I have, which is Drag Me to Hell, came out this year. Again, loud, soft, loud, soft. Assaulting senses.
Yeah, very cool. The honorable mention that I have is A Clockwork Orange, because I've always just, maybe it's just me and the way that I see this movie, but seeing it on the big screen, I saw it, 2 years ago, and it's kind of freaks you out.
The music goes, bah!
Yeah, so, all right, well, that's it. When we come back, we're going to wrap you up. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. Once again, we've come to the end of the show, and I think we've exhausted talking about Transformers.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Transformers. And if you want to see more of me not talking about Transformers, check out my featured article on Film School Rejects. I don't talk at all about Transformers.
It was actually pretty funny this week. So instead of talking more about Transformers, it is time, once again, for the world's famous DVD Roundup. So I'm going to start once again because I have 1 to Kevin's 37.
Yes.
And I like to take a little nap during the last segment, so I'm going to get mine out of the way now.
All right.
Mine is Waltz with Bashir.
Yes.
One of the Oscar-nominated movies, foreign films, animated films of last year.
Yeah.
A fantastic movie from what I hear. I have, you know, it's tough because I haven't seen it, but I know it's like the pick of the week. I know it's of all the movies that are coming out this week, this is the only one that I have interest in.
Can I ask a question here? You've seen a certain movie that we've agreed not to mention in this segment twice this week, but you didn't go out and rent Waltz with Bashir?
No, I didn't have time.
Because you saw the movie twice.
I was busy seeing 5 hours of Robots.
Shh,
okay,
don't talk about it.
Of that movie that we're not allowed to talk about anymore. So, what are your picks? It's, all right, I'm done with this.
All right, I'm gonna dip kind of in the backlog a little bit. There are three that came out a couple weeks ago, but I want to point out Mistresses is a BBC episode, a BBC series that's out on DVD. It's the first two seasons, which seems like a lot, but it's BBC and they have like 6 episodes per season, so it's like 12 episodes, mm-hmm. and it's about these 4 women who are and their love lives. It's sort of like a British version of Sex and the City without the glitz and glamour. It's actually quite good, and this one girl in it, Shelley Khan, is just sizzling gorgeous, so it's worth watching. And there's also 2 other sort of sex-involved things. Blu-rays of Fatal Attraction and Indecent Proposal came out a couple weeks ago. Was watching them, and you creamed them in your DVD Blu-ray report.
In what?
You complained about them. You said to avoid them in your DVD report or your Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, because they were just okay.
Well, Indecent Proposal doesn't have, it just has commentary on it. Fatal Attraction, mm-hmm. if you haven't seen that movie, I just watched it. Watch that movie. It's a freaking terrifying film. and it has some really cool, like, extra, you know, they're just from the deluxe edition DVD that they've put on Blu-ray, but it's worth seeing again. Because Indecent Proposal, not so much. Unless you're really a huge Demi Moore fan. But the ones that are coming out this week...
Who says I'm not a huge Demi Moore fan?
Yeah. I have to give some love to Pink Panther 2. You know what? This is...
Are you contractually obligated or something?
No, I watched it again. I saw it in the theater. I thought it was okay. I watched it again with my kids. And I have to say, it made me laugh. I thought, you have to pass...
Did it make your kids laugh?
Oh, yeah, they loved it. And you have to kind of put out of your mind Peter Sellers... as Inspector Clouseau, and just let Steve Martin be stupid. And it is funny.
I can't put Peter Sellers out of my mind, Kevin.
Well, he's been dead for 20 years.
But I will never let go.
But the other thing is, what's neat about it is if you get the Blu-ray and the DVD, it comes with a bonus disc, which has 27 original Pink Panther cartoons on it, which is awesome in itself, because those are some of the best cartoons that they have. But I also give a little bit of love for Inkheart, even though it was okay. Brendan Fraser. Mm-hmm. It's fiction, because it has Brendan Fraser reading, and you know, he can't read. So there's that. And there's also Confessions of a Shopaholic. That's a nice little romantic comedy with Ella Fisher, who's gorgeous. One more that I just kind of contractually obligated. They sent it to me, so let's mention it. Reba season 6.
Nice.
You know what, though?
If anyone had any respect for our show to begin with... It's gone now.
Well, here's the thing. I saw Reba
season 4. Kevin endorses Reba season 6.
Hey, you know what? In terms of white trash comedy...
Which is right up your alley.
It's actually better. It's better than Roseanne. It's better than, like, Grace Under Fire.
Really? Roseanne was kind of awesome.
Okay, now you've lost respect. If I lost respect for liking the Reba show, you've totally lost respect for liking the Roseanne show, because that thing is terrible. Ugh. I can't even... Ugh, I feel dirty after you mention
it. I feel dirty... doing this segment
you
with you.
You are dirty. Anyways, let's move on to something that's not dirty. And I got one more pick. It's awesome. It is the best pick of the week. It's the Tom and Jerry Chuck Jones collection. And if you
You've
don't know...
almost that, redeemed yourself.
Well, no. If you don't remember the story behind this, Chuck Jones used to be the guy who kind of ran the Looney Tunes stuff for a while in the 50s. Then he moved over to MGM and ran Tom and Jerry for a couple years. And made, you know, it's 2 discs worth of episodes. It's like 4 hours of 3 or 4 hours of Tom and Jerry cartoons. They're hilarious. They're awesome. They've got this their own special look, and they've got the Chuck Jones flair with Mel Blanc doing the voices. Tom and Jerry fans, there's another Tom and Jerry DVD of like a compilation that's out. This is the one to get. This one, I mean, in terms of like the week or two, but Tom and Jerry Chuck Jones collection, fantastic episodes, and it's worth checking out.
Fair enough. What's our stinker of the week?
I'm just going to, and it's not that much of a stinker, but it's Girls Next Door season 5. Because do we really?
Oh, no, that's a stinker.
Do we need more of this? And they broke up anyways. Apparently they're doing another season, but you know. But
oh
you
my
know
God,
what's.
I was watching E the other day.
Yeah.
And they are actually doing one just with that, what, Kendra?
Oh, really?
That she's getting her own show. That's retarded.
Well, here's the other thing with Girls Next Door. If you're going to watch it, don't watch it on E. Watch it on DVD because they don't blur stuff out. I'll just say it at that, which makes it better than a Michael Bay movie.
That's funny. Speaking of Michael Bay movies, time to do a review wrap-up. My Sister's Keeper, Kevin, sees it and says...
Kind
of
sucks.
And then Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, I'm saying totally rocks.
Kind of rocks.
Fair enough. In between now and next... Well, actually, no, we're off next week, so...
Yeah. 4th of July, we're going to get drunk, drink beer at 9 in the morning, and watch fireworks.
I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Public Enemies is worth seeing. So do that, or go see Transformers a second time over the July 4th weekend.
Or Ice Age 3.
Or Ice Age 3. Yeah. In the meantime, you can get a hold of us at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. You can email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com, or give us a call. You know the number. And in between now and then, have a happy 4th of July. Bum, 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 bum.